Hey, we wanted to welcome our listeners to our Complex Philanthropy podcast. Many times the gifting of a business interest or the liquidity from the sale of a business is utilized to donate money to a cause or causes that a family cares about. Prior to getting to the final sale, however, there are many issues that, if they are not addressed properly, can lead to an unsatisfactory experience for the business owner. This series will attempt to help you as you begin that process. Today's segment, which is the second in a series, is titled The Art of the Buy-Sell Agreement. It's more than just a transaction. My name is Mark Hagan. I work for UBS Financial Services. I've been in this business for 28 years and have been with UBS since 1999. Currently, I run the charitable planning part of our practice at UBS. I have a chartered advisor and philanthropy designation. I'm certified as a financial planner on the team, and I also work as an investment consultant for foundations and endowments here at UBS. On an outside activity within the firm, I started an organization called Emily's Place, which serves survivors of domestic violence here in the Collin County area. We're joined today again by two amazing professionals from the J. Taylor Firm out of Fort Worth. Joe Taylor is the founder and chairman of the Board of Managers. He's had over 40 years of experience as a CPA, emphasizing business advisory and tax planning expertise with special emphasis in the areas of formation and structural development. A graduate of Oklahoma State, who began his career at Ernst & Young, where he was a senior manager in their tax division. He's recognized as a distinguished alumni by the Oklahoma School of Accounting and was a recipient of the 2021 Wilson T. Anderson Hall of Fame Award. Herd Mitkiff, who is also a partner at J. Taylor, runs their consulting practice. Herd has almost 25 years of business valuation and consulting experience with many industries, and he is also a member of the National Association of Certified Valuators and is a certified valuation expert. He graduated from Texas Christian University and received his MBA from SMU Southern Methodist University here in Dallas. He has authored many publications and has been a presenter and speaker around the nation. As you can tell by the introduction, there are no two people that are going to be more qualified to discuss this topic today. As a reminder, UBS is in no way affiliated with or endorses Emily's Place, Inc. We are not recommending securities for sale, and the intent of today's podcast is for educational purposes only. UBS does not offer tax or legal advice. Please consult your tax attorney or CPA. After today's call, Joe and Herd just might be that for you. Fellas, I want to thank you for taking your time to help our listeners out today. As we mentioned in the last podcast, when we're selling a family business, it's certainly a lot more complex than just a transaction. The last series we discussed was letting go and sell to whom. And today we're going to be discussing in depth what needs to happen in the buy-sell discussion process, which will be designed to help potentially maximize not only the monetary benefit, but also the emotional benefit as well. Joe, we've been doing business a long time with you guys, and y'all have a really unique approach to this part of the process in that you start every conversation with any business owner or entrepreneur by having them think about the type of model that they should adopt. What does this mean to our listeners when we say that?
Thank you, Mark. So for the owner, when you're talking to a business owner, it really matters what their circumstance is. We'll have some businesses that are going to approach the market just because it's part of the cycle. They're in a peak point in the business cycle for their particular industry or their particular business. And so they see an opportunity to sell at a good time. Sometimes we'll have a client that'll, you know, their objectives have more to do with market expansion. We've tapped ourselves in this market and we can get into this market over here, you know, adjoining this market. Then it can have some real expansion opportunities that we just can't tap into otherwise. Sometimes we'll have a circumstance where we've got an owner of a business and they need to sell. Things are okay, competition's tough, and capital is tight, and they need somebody to step into this ownership that has maybe deeper pockets. So it really does matter the owner of the business, where they are, what their objectives are. The thing that'll surprise, well, let me make one comment about that. The owners that we've been involved with that have sold a business, successfully sold a business over the last few years, I would put them into couple of different categories. One are the ones that I'll call the sort of the pure value sellers. And those are owners that are looking at selling the business and they're trying to maximize what they can get for the business. Now, other things are important in terms of culture and things such as that, but dollar is a big piece for them. We'll have others who operate under more of what I'd call a stewardship model, where there's a sale of ownership, but it's a big part of their objective to see the buyer come in and bring a positive cultural add or influence to what they have built already. So you've got these two different approaches of a seller. The thing that I would say is the most surprising when you start getting into looking at working with a seller of a business is the emotional piece. I've had clients that are what I'll call a pure value seller. The numbers are rolling in well. It looks very successful, the transactions. But then all of a sudden, the emotional pieces start kicking in. This is their baby. They built it. And now whose hands is it going to be in? And they get even more sensitive to price adjustments. One of our real important goals as an advisor of somebody selling a business is to try to help move those, not move them completely aside, because the emotional is important, but to make sure that at the end of the day, the business transaction they end up with makes sense. We've had a couple circumstances where it would have gone sideways in terms of not accomplishing what really was in the best interest of the seller. And we had to work with them a little bit to, I'd say, lessen the strength of the emotional that they were bringing into it. So that's it, Mark. So you got to know your seller and you got to know what's driving them and then try to coach them to really be able to best in the end accomplish what their goals and objectives are.
And when you guys are doing that as a team there, when you look at the value versus the steward seller, have you guys had any ability to track or see once those transactions are done within those categories, which one you think came out better or the experience has been better? Or is that not really the right question to ask?
I think it's I'm going to sound like a consultant here. It depends. And really, I'm going to go back to what Joe said. It's really getting in the shoes and understanding what the objective and goals are of the seller. And I would say we've had success in both models. We've had success in finding a financial buyer for someone who they wanted to, this is their retirement package and they wanted to not work very much longer. And they sold the company and they, went and retired and they worked another, maybe a year after the transaction to help make sure everything transferred and they were happy and the buyer was happy. Everything was successful. We have others that they're looking at working another 10 years or so, and they want to do an internal transaction because they want to really help turn it over to the next generation. They may sell and not realize the financial windfall or gain at that first piece because they're doing an internal transaction and they need to discount the value to make that palatable. But their thought is, I'm going to work another 10, 15 years, and now I have this team and I have this people who are invested in this next generation, and I now realize my money 10 years from now kind of thing. So it really depends on what their goals are, and we've seen success in both. And I think it all goes back to getting in your client's shoes and really getting to the heart of what they want. And sometimes it's just helping them understand what they really want. Because sometimes they think, there's what they think they want and there's what they want. And so you see this all the time in the investment world. There's what they think they want versus what they really want. And part of our job is just being a good listener and then helping bring our context and kind of our outside eye to it to really, get to the heart of what that is.
Yeah, you touched on an interesting situation I know you guys have talked about over the years as we've worked together, from the external versus internal end buyer. And I'm wondering if you guys heard, you could start and then Joe, you could come back behind it. Comment on the different type of the emotional conversation that is or is not talking about internally and transitioning it versus just externally. Is there a material difference in the conversation that you guys have with that particular entrepreneur, because one of them may be more selling the business is personal, but one may be more personal trying to take care of all the employees and family versus just, I'm going to exit this business and go do my own thing?
Yeah, I think the external approach where you have an external buyer come in, probably the loss of control and really, an outside party coming in and depending on who it is. And you'll hear me use terms like financial buyer versus strategic buyer. And if you're a mid-sized business and you're not just selling to another potential owner operator, and let's say you're selling, you know, potentially to a private equity firm or some other type of investment group, that's what a financial buyer is. They're looking to come in and maximize efficiencies, increase profitability, and sell the business themselves in a few years, versus a strategic buyer where it's another like business where they're going to fold you into that and they see an opportunity there. I think there's just a little more loss of control there. And so it depends on what your thoughts are. And even in those situations, we had a business that we helped sell to a financial buyer, but it was the right kind of financial buyer who had a long-term view. They wanted to keep all the employees, and you know, the key employees were going to be taken care of. And so it kind of split the difference a little bit in satisfying that. But I certainly think, you know, if you have a internal transaction, you're there more, you know the people more, you work together a lot more. And so there's maybe a little more comfort there versus, you know, getting comfortable with somebody new coming in and maybe bringing their way to it.
Kurt said it well. I'd add one piece to it. When we're looking at an internal transaction, almost always it's less dollars. Not always, but almost always, you know, 80%, it's going to be less dollars. And there's reasons for that. Usually, if it's an internal transaction, there are some reasons, whether maybe it's the industry, like a professional services firm, or maybe the seller. It's just really important to them, more important than the pure dollars, that this business continue on. It might be their legacy entity. So less dollars. And it's a little trickier, the internal transaction, as opposed to external, where you got the market coming to you, the market with their pocketbook and their bank relationship, et cetera. And they're maybe in the business of like private equity, in the business of acquiring. With internal, a lot of times you've got folks that are current owners, maybe key employees, and they're going to step into the buyer role. And they may not have quite as deep of pocketbooks. So you may have to be a little more creative in terms of how you structure the transaction so it still works for the buyer, but you still get maximum dollars, as fair and as reasonable a number as you can to the seller as well.
So do you think in the conversation of those on an internal, if as an entrepreneur, if you're an internal sale focus versus external, is part of it that you would get lower dollars? Sometimes it could be a lower sales price because of the relationship that they have with their employees and feeling like everybody's, you know, made enough. You don't need the actual last top dollar if you're continuing the legacy and helping those that are coming in behind it because you've been working with them. Is that kind of the trade there?
Yeah, I think some of the trades is just kind of pure valuation, where if you're selling, you know, a smaller interest to multiple people, I mean, the value to that individual, they're going to discount it because that individual, if they're going to have a minority interest in the company, it's going to be worth less because it's a non-controlling minority interest. And so that's typically what we see. And typically what we see is, you know, there's an owner operator, and they're selling, you know, smaller portions to multiple people. And so there's a discount there versus, you know, someone coming in from the outside and paying 100% for the company. There's a control premium there that you pay. So that's a lot of where it comes from, is just what the true value is of what's being transferred. So I think you see that. And again, it's back to the trade-off is you sell internally, you may not get top dollar day one, but lots of times the goal is, well, this is the team that's going to help take the business to the next level over the next 10 years, and it'll look different 10 years from now versus I want to sell out today and be done with it, you know, in a year. And it's just a different conversation. So I think that's kind of the trade-offs that you need to be considering.
And then historically, when you guys are having the conversations, whether it's internal or external, would you be able to categorize majority of transactions seem to be majority of cash up front and an earnout on the backside, or some type of leverage buyout and do something at the end again for making capital? Or is it really all over the board depending on who the actual seller is?
It depends. Most of the transactions that come through here with external involve cash of, you know, 70, 80% of the price, maybe 90, and then a roll-in of some part of the seller ownership into the, you know, consolidated acquiring enterprise. That's pretty common.
Yeah. And then, yeah, you know, I'd say with internal, it depends on smaller transaction size. And typically you're looking at either people going out and getting financing on their own, or maybe the company's going to help finance the transaction and there'll be a 5-year note. and that gets paid off with interest. So that's typically how those work, or it's just a pure cash piece. But again, you're talking smaller dollars because you got multiple potential buy-ins by multiple people. That's going to be a smaller amount.
Got it. Yeah, so the complexities are different with your ultimate purchaser of the business relative to the type of external, internal conversation that's going on with the entrepreneur or the founder. So when you look at all of that, as long as you guys have been advising companies for a long time successfully, what would be one or two quick takeaways from each of you in the context of your years so far in the business of advising folks, if they just popped to your head and you said, these are a couple things in the context of buy sell that's really important.
Really important to, so we'll start with the seller, really important to do their homework. You don't want to go into that, you know, making a decision and trying to sell it off in 3 months. It helps a lot to, if you're going to sell your business in the relative near term, to think about how your company's postured, what your debt position is, what kind of planning that you've done, how you've got things buttoned up. You know, you've got employees and you have your restrictive covenants in place. You have the company buttoned up and ready for sale. And I would really recommend, not because we do this, but I would recommend if somebody's looking at selling their business in the relatively near future, reach out and get some advice. Let somebody give you some direction in terms of how to best position your business, and then also what the best approach is to taking it out into the market. It may be a broker, it may not be. There's different ways. It depends. Sometimes it depends on your industry and how businesses move within your industry. So that would be number one for me. And then number two would be, I'm thinking more on the seller. They need to do their soul searching in terms of what are they really looking to accomplish? Because there are a lot of times where we get a business, we bring it to the altar, and then the seller, they somehow can't finally pull the trigger, even though you got it right there where you wanted it. And it's because there's something within them they just still haven't resolved in terms of what they want to do with this business or what they want to do with their time.
I'll kind of echo Joe. I think the earlier you start planning, the better. I think if it's, you know, if you're thinking of doing something in the next 3 to 5 years, then I think, you know, get someone else to look at the books, look at the company, and then look at it with the eye of what a buyer is going to be looking for. If you're doing an external transaction or even internal, I think the sooner the better. Joe and I have a client we worked on recently, and I think the first phone call when we first started working together to, you know, where a potential transaction may happen, it's probably going to be almost a 2-year process, just because it's, again, it's been some soul searching, some cleanup of things. There's just lots of issues. And so I think just get someone to come in early and have those conversations, because it's going to take longer than you think. Because I think people think, oh, I can just call up Joe and we'll have something done in the next 2-3 months. Maybe if everything started to line just right, but more than likely, no, it's going to be a lot longer process depending on where you are.
And depending on, so you're looking at selling your business. We're focusing a little bit more on that right now. The tax piece may end up being the most material aspect of the transaction, apart from just the actual gross proceeds. And it can make a big difference of whether or not you're, you know, selling stock, or if you have a partnership interest, selling that partnership interest, or how, if you're going to roll some ownership in, how you do it. We saw a transaction recently, the one that was brought to us, where a business was going to sell, and then at the end of the transaction, they were going to end up with a percentage of the acquiring entity. And the way it was structured, before we got a chance to work with it, it was money to pay the taxes for the seller. So taxes are a big piece of it. And so I would really encourage anybody that's selling, buyer, it's important too, but on the seller particularly, to make sure that they've got good advice, good direction, so that they don't end up writing a check, an unnecessary check to Uncle Sam associated with the transaction. I will say the buyer, they're interested in, their objectives are different, and they're looking for ways to posture it so they can come right out of that acquisition with deductions in the best way that they can. And so buyer's going to have some different objectives, but definitely for the seller, more important for the seller, make sure you've got a good advisors.
That's perfect. Well, I want to thank you guys both today for spending some time with us again. I know this has gotten a few families that are listening out there thinking about the complexities that come with having a successful transition of the businesses that they built. If those of you that are listening would like to have some further conversation, or you've got some general questions, about your specific business or asset or assets, or just like some more information regarding some of the conversation we had today, you can email me at mark.hagan@ubs.com or call me directly 469-440-0604. Also, follow our series of podcasts in the Apple Podcast app or on Spotify. It's under the title Complex Philanthropy. We hope you have a good rest of your day and the week as well. As a reminder, UBS is in no way affiliated with or endorses Emily's Place. We're not recommending securities for sale, and the intent of today's podcast is for educational purposes only. UBS doesn't offer tax or legal advice. Please consult your tax attorney or CPA. And as I said to kick off the series and today, Joe and her just might be that for you after today's segment. Thank you.